Well, I want to read to you a very familiar passage of Scripture. And it comes from John chapter 3, and we will begin with verse 1 and go down through verse 16. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Well, the name Walter Gamewell Watson may not mean much to you, but to those who live around Augusta, Georgia, he was a legend in his own time. He died October the 24th, 2012. He was 102 years old. For longer than most people could remember, he was an active member of Grace United Methodist Church there in Augusta. He was a longtime usher at that church. His was one of the very first smiling faces that many people would see every Sunday morning. But these matters are not the only things that made him a legend. There's more. I mean, much more. If you take a tour of University Hospital in Augusta, you can find there inside that hospital a bronze statue of him holding a baby. You see, he practiced medicine there for over 63 years. He was an OBGYN, still serving patients and making daily rounds even after his 100th birthday. And during those 60-plus years of service, he delivered over 15,000 babies, 17 of whom were his own descendants. Well, maybe the number of babies born was closer to 16,000. He just didn't know for sure. But he never did get tired of his work. He said one time, "There is nothing quite as amazing as witnessing the miracle of life." Well, it's hard to disagree with Dr. Watson's statement. I mean, after all, it is amazing how an egg formed within a woman can combine with a totally foreign cell from a man, and the two can begin a new life. And then this new life, after gestating for 9 months, makes its grand entry into the world. And for the first time, it breathes and fills its lungs with air. For the first time, it is exposed to light. For the first time, it receives nourishment through its mouth instead of a tube that's attached to its abdomen. And it still lives. It's nothing short of amazing. It really is miraculous. But I digress. Back to Georgia. In 1976... there was this little-known governor from Georgia who decided to run for president. And he was shockingly open about his faith. He stated publicly that Jesus Christ was the driving force in his life. And he said that he had been born again. Well, the latter statement was more shocking than the former, because many people didn't know what he meant by being born again. They acted as if he had coined a new religious term. Some people scoffed at the term. Other people bristled with anger at the words. I remember back in the 80s, there was a man who came to see me at the church. He wanted to talk to me, and he said, "I want to know what this word, this phrase, born again means." He said, "Because I become angry every time I hear someone say it." Well, we had a nice talk after that. There were some people who should have known what it meant to be born again, but they didn't understand. There was one of my friends and a fellow Baptist pastor who told me of a time when a young pastor from a mainline denomination church approached him and asked him, "What does it mean to be born again?" It's shocking. Well, listen, this term born again is not the exclusive domain of some wild-eyed fundamentalist cultists. It's not some obscure idea found only one time in the Bible. It's a teaching that really runs throughout the New Testament, though it goes under a lot of different names. You can call it the new birth. You can call it a resurrection, a new life, a new creation, a renewing of the mind, a dying to sin and living to righteousness, a transition from darkness to light. In more theological terms, it can be referred to as regeneration, renovation, and conversion. And though there may be some slight shades of difference among these terms as far as what they mean, they're often used interchangeably. So just take your choice. We don't want to quibble over terminology right now. Rather, today, what we want to consider is, what does it mean to be born again? So briefly described, to be born again is to experience a miracle. It is to be remade from the inside by the transforming power of no one less than the Holy Spirit. So, why do we need to even worry about being born again? Well, let's consider the necessity of the new birth. Why do we need to be born again? Why did Jesus tell Nicodemus, "You must be born again"? Well, the reason is simply this. Without the new birth, we are spiritually dead and displeasing to God. Notice how the Apostle Paul states this in his letter to Titus. And if you were to look up in Titus chapter 3, starting right here with verse 3, he states this. He said, "We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." Now, the Apostle Paul was not on a rant about some isolated issue. This is a passage that agrees with other statements about why we need to be born again. Like in John chapter 8, John records Jesus making this remark, that apart from the new birth, we are slaves to sin. Apart from the new birth in Paul's writings, particularly like Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, "We were dead in trespasses and sin," meaning spiritually we were dead. "We were following the prince of the power of the air," meaning we were really the disciples of the devil. And going on down again in verse 2, it says, he writes that we lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were addicted to our own selfish ways. And then he puts it this way. He said, "And we were by nature children of wrath," meaning by this phrase, we were fully deserving objects of the full measure of God's wrath. And here's the tragic part of it. There's nothing that we can do to change ourselves. As the prophet Jeremiah stated, we are no more capable of changing ourselves than is a leopard capable of changing its spots. By our very nature, we have a tendency to rebel against God. And more than that, in Psalm 51, it reminds us that we were brought forth in iniquity and conceived in sin, meaning we enter this world as natural born sinners. There is something desperately wrong with us by nature. Therefore, our natural spiritual condition demands that we be born again. Therefore, the command to be born again is not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's not just a good piece of advice. And this is the reason that Jesus emphasized it as he did to Nicodemus. He didn't say you ought to be born again. He said you must be born again. And this need was not unique to Nicodemus. Nicodemus and everyone else needed to be born again if they wanted to enter the kingdom of God. Now, if you happen to be looking at the King James Version, you will see there in verse 7 of John chapter 3, Jesus says, ye must be born again. He does not say, thou must be born again. It's ye must be born again. Ye is East Texas. I mean, in East Texas, we say it would be y'all. And he's talking about the plural. What was true for Nicodemus is true for each and every one of us. Apart from Christ, apart from being born again, we will not see, nor shall we enter the kingdom of heaven. We will not even get our foot inside the door. So, how is this new birth accomplished? Well, let's consider the means of the new birth. The Apostle John speaks of this early in his gospel account, like in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, verses 12 and 13. He says, to all who did receive him, that is to all who received Christ, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor of a human husband's will, but born of God. Our passage again in Titus. We read chapter 3, verse 3, but listen to what it says in chapter 3, verse 5. Lost my place there for a moment. But in chapter 3, verse 5, this is what it says about how God saved us. It says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. How we're born again is this. Let me just say, first of all, how we're not born again. We are not born again by deciding to turn over a new leaf or by going to Sunday school and earning a perfect attendance pin. We're not born again by being baptized or even partaking of the Lord's Supper. We're not born again by attending church services and finding them pleasantly entertaining. We are not born again by giving a handsome donation to the church or some charitable organization. We're not born again by growing up in a Christian home or doing a good deed every day. We're not even born again by walking an aisle sometime and repeating some prayer that someone tells you that you're supposed to repeat. All this is to say that we are not saved by our good deeds or our determination. If you are basing your salvation on such things, or if you're thinking these words, I'm good enough just as I am, you're out of sync with the Scriptures. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2 again in verse 8, what he says is, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All who believe that they can make themselves fit to be a child of God by their own efforts or by any other human means, are basing their hopes on a foundation of sand. They're living in a dream world, and if they don't wake up from it soon, they will end up experiencing something far beyond their worst nightmares. You see, we are born again by a miraculous act performed in us by the Holy Spirit. And when we experience this new birth, a true miracle takes place within us. We undergo a renewing of the mind and the heart. We gain a new love for God and for others. We develop a new longing for righteousness and a new disgust for sin and the things that displease God. Just as physical birth is an amazing event, rebirth by the Holy Spirit is an amazing event, and infinitely more so. Because those who have been born again, for them, there is no explanation for their lives and the changes which have taken place apart from the miraculous work of the Spirit. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows where it wants to, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. That is the way it is with those who are born of the Spirit. There's something that we cannot humanly explain. It's only explained by the working of the Spirit of God. We probably all like to listen to testimonies of those whose lives were just miraculously transformed. Some of you may have heard of a lady named Iris Uri Blue back, 30 years or so ago. you got to hear a lot, especially at evangelism conferences. Iris Uri Blue was a girl who grew up in a middle-class Christian home. But at the age of 13, she ran away from home and she became involved with drugs and prostitution. By the time she was 18, she was rotting away in a prison cell for her participation in an armed robbery. And once out of prison, well, she didn't learn her lesson. She became only worse until she was born again. And now for many years, she has been an outspoken witness to the power of God's grace. Now, some of us know what it means to have our lives turned upside down and inside out by the power of God. Our story may not be as dramatic as Iris Uri Blue's, but our lives were definitely changed. We can sing, "He touched me," and we can remember something happened to us and remember when it did happen. Now, some of you, though, you may have no spectacular story. Some of you began to follow Christ whenever you were as young as 10 or maybe even 8 years old. Because of that, you never used drugs. You never spent time in jail. You never were like Iris Uri Blue. You weren't even like a lot of your friends in junior high and high school. And you say, "Well, I don't really have a story to tell. I don't have a testimony to offer. I don't remember being born again." You say, "Do I have any evidence that I've been born again?" Well, yeah, you do. Because the fact that you decided to follow Christ when you were young, and the fact that you survived the temptations of your teens and the tough times of your 20s and 30s, and you're still faithful to Christ, it's evidence that the Lord has had His hand on you. He changed your life early in such a way that your life has been far different from what it could have been. Somebody else may be saying, "Well, I committed my life to Christ a long time ago, and I know I've been born again, but I'm so far from being perfect." Well, you need to bear in mind another thing about being born again, and that is the process of the new birth. The new birth is an event, yes, but it's also the beginning of a lifelong process. You know how the Bible starts in Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And how did He do it? He just simply spoke them into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Whatever God spoke, it came into being. By His powerful word, when He did this, He set in motion a process. Now, how long did God need in order to do all of this? Well, you say 6 days. Well, yeah, but He could have done it in one day, couldn't He? Well, yeah. He could have done it in 1 millisecond if He wanted to, but He chose to do it in 6 days. What He spoke into being on the first day was just the beginning. It wasn't the final design. Creation is a process. In the same way, we are born again by, get this, the living and abiding Word of God. And when we are born again, God's destiny for us is that we would grow and be conformed to the image of His Son. He didn't cause us to be born again just so that we'd be another name added to a church roll. We're supposed to be like Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, when we are recreated or reborn by the power of God's Word and the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, a process begins. Just as it was when we were born the first time, we are helpless infants with a long way to go before becoming mature adults. So it is when we're born again by the Holy Spirit. We're not like Christ immediately, but we should continue to develop to be like Him. We are supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I am born again, I can say this: I'm not the man that I used to be, nor am I the man that I shall be. I'm still growing, and I'm still maturing. Indeed, there is really something wrong with us if we do not grow. Some of the finest evidence that we have been born again is that we're continuing to become more and more like Christ. The spiritual process that was begun when we were born again is a continuing process. Remember that. Now let's consider the result of the new birth. One of them is this, is that we have a new heart. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, we read about this new nature that we have when we've been born again. It says in there in 1 John chapter 3, it says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning because God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Meaning, when you've been born of God, you have a new want to. You have not only a new desire, but you have a new ability to live a life that's pleasing to God. Another thing is this, is we are reborn. Whenever we're born again, we're reborn into a brand new family. Whenever you read John's gospel and you read his letters, he refers to those who have been born again as children of God. The apostle Paul, on the other hand, uses more legal type terminology, and he calls those who have been born again sons of God. By the new birth, we become, get this, we become God's adopted children, and as such, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What this means is that those who have been born again become heirs to everything that God has to offer. And the marvelous thing about all this is that we cannot at this present time comprehend how great that inheritance is. All we can say is this, is that it is an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and not fading away. Here's another thing, is that we have a new life, and that is one that is eternal. I've probably mentioned to some of you this before, is that there's one of these little things that just kind of gets under my skin every now and then. It's whenever you say, is there anything you have to be thankful for? Like if you ask people on Wednesday night, say, well, have another day. Thank you for another day. You know, think about this. We are heirs of the eternal day, not just another 24 hours. I mean, if we have been born again, we shouldn't ever say something like this. Well, any day is a good day as long as I wake up on this side of the ground. That's just not right. Listen, we have a new life, and it's a life that is untouched by time or even death. It's part of being born again. And here's another thing that is important. There is the permanence of the new birth. It is something that lasts forever. It is not something that once you get it, you may lose it. You know, once we have been born again, we can have a confidence that we have a relationship with God that cannot be broken. We can have confidence that there is no power, no person, no thing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been born again, and we do not have the power or the option of reversing that process. I was born December the 6th, 1951, in the Gladewater Hospital at 3:30 on a Friday morning. Now, let's say that once that happened, you know, and I came out and I saw all the lights and I saw all these people in white clothes and masks, and I just thought, no, this isn't happening, and I'm going back. I couldn't have done that. You can't reverse the process of physical birth. What makes you think that you can reverse the process of spiritual birth that God puts into action? Here's another thing, is that we have been remade by the Spirit of God. This means that God himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in our life. He lives in us. And listen, you do not have the right or the power or the authority to evict the Holy Spirit. No one can drive him out. Another thing is that the Holy Spirit has incorporated us into the body of Christ. The Spirit has marked us off with the seal of God's ownership. That's what it means whenever it says we have been sealed with the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the mark that we belong to God. And we do not have the authority or the power to revoke or dissolve God's ownership of our lives. Once you have been born again, you have a new and permanent status in the kingdom of God. So, what do we have to do to receive this new birth? Well, simply put, it's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot separate the new birth from believing in Jesus Christ. That well-known verse, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. An important word in there is believe. You know, and And the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, whenever he wrote that, he talks to these people. He said, we were all dead in sin. But he says, by faith you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. The new birth is a gift. A gift is something that you can't earn. It can only be received or accepted by faith. And when we do that, we're trusting God, the giver, to have no harmful or insidious or evil motive. We just put our faith in Him. We trust His goodness. We trust His ability and authority to forgive us. We trust Him to make us new and give us hope. So the question may be for you is not just, have you been born again? But do you really believe in Jesus Christ? And a lot of people will say, oh yeah, I do believe. But so many of them have not been born again because all they believe is they just believe that Jesus is real, that He exists. If you claim to believe, have you believed enough to obey Jesus and do what He says? Have you believed enough to take up your cross and follow Him? Have you believed enough to confess Jesus Christ openly through baptism? Has your belief resulted in a life that is different? A life that is different than it used to be? A life that is different than it would have been? A life that is different from the lives of others around us who have never been born again? Have you experienced the miracle of the new birth? You may say, well, no, I haven't. And you may say, I've been playing games with God. I called upon Him to save me. I've never called upon Him to forgive me. I've never called upon Him to change me. If you know that the road you are traveling does not lead to eternal life, why not call upon the Lord to save you and to trust Him and you can be born again? I know that that will happen. It happened to me whenever I was a college student. I was 20 years old and I never have been the same since. And I hope that you, but before this day is over, you can say, I've been born again. Let's pray together. Now, our Lord, I ask that You would open not only our eyes to the truth, but You would open our hearts to receive and accept it. Father, we cannot thank You enough for sending Your Son into this world to die on a cross so that our sins can be completely forgiven. Lord, there was just no way in the world that we could make ourselves acceptable in Your sight, not on our own, but Your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, His death makes us acceptable in Your sight. We thank You for that. Now, our Father, we pray that as we leave this place, that we will either be rejoicing that You have caused us to be born again, and if that hasn't happened, I pray that You would cause us to be seeking Your face and calling upon You to change our lives and make us a part of Your family, giving us the faith to believe and trust in You. And Lord, we lift all of this up to You. This is our prayer. And also, Lord, we do want to say this, is that in this week that lies ahead of us, that You will watch over us, protect us, and remind us of Your presence. I pray, Lord, that You would guide our government leaders in making proper decisions during this time of sickness, and that we would be able to follow along with what they say, and that we will respect their authority. And Lord, we pray thanking You for Your grace, thanking You for Your mercy, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.